Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim, and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings from other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be juxtapositions. That is, I will play the same song twice. First by a band that does not include Bix, and then by a band that includes Bix. For the modern musician, I will turn to Mike Pollard, and I will play one or two selections composed by Eastwood Lane, who was one of Bix's favorite composers. Well, let's get started with the music and the juxtapositions. The first song that I want to play is Baby, Won't You Please Come Home, first by the Louisiana Rhythm Kings and then by Frankie Trombauer and his orchestra. The Louisiana Rhythm Kings was a name that was used by many different groups. For example, on the April 28, 1928 session that brought us Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. The Louisiana Rhythm Kings are a bunch of Chicagoans. Moxie Spanier on cornet, Frank Teschmacher on clarinet, Maz Mesro on tenor sax, Joe Sullivan on piano, Eddie Condon on banjo, Jim Lanigan on brass bass, Gene Krupa on drums, and the vocalist is credited as Eleanor Charrier, but I think it is Eddie Condon. The name Louisiana Rhythm Kings was utilized by other groups. For example, on February 20, 1929, a group which was essentially Red Nichols' Five Pennies did some recordings. On January 20, 1930, the group included Adrian Rollini, Gene Krupa, and Jack Rossin, as well as others. So that is really a name just for the purpose of selling records that the companies used. The Frankie Trombauer version of Baby, Won't You Please Come Home was recorded on April 17, 1929 and includes Frank Trombauer on C melody sax or alto sax, Bix Beiderbecke and Andy Sigrist on cornet, Bill Rank on trombone, Charlie Strickfaden on alto sax, Izzy Friedman on clarinet or tenor sax, Min Lindbrook on bass sax, Matty Malnek on violin, Roy Bargy on piano. And the vocal in Baby, Won't You Please Come Home is by, if one can call that a vocal, by Frankie Trombauer. This, of course, is the controversial record. There are two solos, one open and one muted, and it's very simple to know which is Bix and which one is by Andy Sigrist. The open is Andy Secrest, the muted is Big Spiderbeck. So here is the first juxtaposition. Baby, won't you please come home, recorded in 1928 by the Louisiana Rhythm Kings and in 1929 by Frankie Trumbauer and his orchestra.
Your papa all alone. I have tried in vain, never more say your name. When you left, you broke my heart. So we promised not to part. Every hour in the day, you can hear me say, baby, won't you please come home? Rito da da, baby, won't you please come home?
Baby, won't you please come home? Oh, your pappy's all alone. I have cried in vain, never more to call your name. When you left, you broke my heart, 'cause I thought we'd never part. Every hour in the day, you will hear me say, baby, won't you please come home? Come on, baby, won't you please come home? Thank you.
forgot to mention that in the Frankie Trumbauer version of Baby Won't You Please Come Home, Eddie Lang was on guitar and Stan King on drums. Well, let's continue with the juxtaposition. I would like to play the song Changes. First, a recording by the California Ramblers from December 15, 1927 with Bill Moore and another trumpet, Pete Pumiglio on clarinet, soprano sax or alto sax, another clarinet or alto sax, Sam Ruby on tenor sax, Al Duffy on violin, Lenny Hayton on piano, Tommy Fellini on banjo, Jack Hansen on tuba, Herb Whale on drums, and the vocal is by a trio that consists of Ed Kirkaby, Sammy Fain, and Artie Dunn. The thing that is very noticeable here is, of course, the absence of the great Adrian Rollini, who was such an important member of the California Ramblers. I will follow that with the Paul Whiteman version, recorded on November 23rd, 1927. It's the big Paul Whiteman group there. I'm not going to give everyone. I will simply say that there are two vocals, one by the Sweet Trio, consisting of Jack Fulton, Charles Gaylor, and Skin Young. Then there is another vocal by the Rhythm Boys, Bing Crosby, Al Rinker, and Harry Barris. I would like to read what Richard Sonhalter writes in the booklet that comes with the Giants of Jazz, Big Spiderbeck, Time Life set of records. Very interesting. He's talking about the solo that Bix plays here, and he says the solo had a powerful effect on Tommy Dorsey, who had known Bix since his 1924 tryout with Gold Cat, had recorded with him as one of the rhythm jockeys, and served with him in the Gold Cat and Whiteman bands. When we finished the first take, said Chalice, Tommy Dorsey was all excited over what Bix had played. He rushed up to him and begged him not to change a note on any subsequent take, but to keep the solo intact. Well, Bix couldn't remember exactly what he had played, but he tried to play as closely as he could to what he remembered in the takes that followed, just to keep Tommy happy. Alright, so here then is Changes, first by the California Ramblers in 1927, late 1927, and then by Paul Whiteman and his orchestra in November 1927, just about 3 weeks before the California Ramblers version.
Beautiful, beautiful changes. Those beautiful changes in
different keys,
beautiful changes and
harmonies. He starts and sees,
then
changes to D.
He's fooling around,
most any old key.
What's that? Hear that minor strain? That's it, there it falls again. There's so many babies that
he can squeeze, and he's always changing those keys.
Beautiful,
There's so many babies that he can squeeze, and he's always changing those keys.
First he changes into B, changes into C, changes into D, changes into E, as easy as the weather man. Now he's getting kind of cold, getting kind of hot. Listen, I forgot, since he was a tot, he's been the talk of Dixieland.
That is a perfect recording to the last note. I can see why Tommy Dorsey was so excited following that great vocal by Bing Crosby. Biggs comes up with a magnificent solo. Okay, for the next juxtaposition, I will like to try a triple mammy, and I will play three versions of Japanese Sandman. First, the version by Paul Whiteman, recorded on August 19, 1920. This was a million seller, and Paul Whiteman and his Ambassador Orchestra consist of Paul Whiteman on violin and directing, Henry Bossi on trumpet, Buster Johnson on trombone, Gus Muller on clarinet or alto sax, Hale Byers on soprano sax or alto sax, Ferdy Groffé on piano and did the arrangements, Mike Pingitori on banjo, Sammy Heiss on tuba, Harold MacDonald on drums. I will follow that with the Frankie Trumbauer version that was recorded on October 5th, 1928. Frank Trumbauer, C melody and directing, Big Spider Beck on cornet, Charlie Margolis on trumpet, Bill Rank on trombone, Easy Friedman on clarinet or alto sax, Charles Strickfaden on alto sax, Rube Crozier on bassoon, Min Lee Brook on bass saxophone, Roy Bargy on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, and there is a vocal, again, if we can call that a vocal, by Frank Trumbauer. And I will top that off with a 1930s version of Japanese Sandman by Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This was recorded on April 19, 1935 with Benny Goodman on clarinet, Pee Wee Irwin, Jerry Neary, and Nate Cazabier on trumpets. Jack Lacey and Jack Teagarden on trombone, Toots Bondello, Jaime Schwerzer on alto sax, Arthur Rollini, Dick Clark on tenor sax, Frank Ferber on piano, Alan Royce on guitar, Harry Goodman on string bass, Gene Krupa on drums. And the arrangement here is by Horace Henderson. So here are then three versions of Japanese Sandman, very early by Paul Whiteman, intermediate late 20s by Frank Trumbauer, and a mid-30s version by Benny Goodman.
Thank you.
go back and listen to Paul Whiteman on violin doing a few variations. Maybe even we can call them improvisations. They are not the most imaginative one, but there they are. Paul Whiteman doing a little variation. Now let's continue with the Trombauer's version of Japanese Sandman.
Japanese Sandman sneaking on with a do-do-do. Just an old second-hand man, he'll buy the old day from you. He will take every sorrow of the day that is through, and he'll give you tomorrow just to start life anew. Then you'll be a bit older in the dawn when you wake, and you'll be a bit bolder with the new day you make. Here's the Japanese Sandman, made him silver for gold. Just an old second-hand man, trading new days for gold.
Go back and listen to Bix after Trombauer's vocal. Isn't that lovely stuff? And such imagination. That guy was something else. Anyway.
Thank you.
course, you can detect some of the big band sound already there, but there is also some of the subtlety of the earlier jazz. All right, let's continue now with the juxtapositions, and I would like to play the two versions of the Sweet Sue. First, a version by Giovenuti's Blue Four, recorded on November 12, 1930, and there are five guys here: Giovenuti on violin, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet, alto sax or baritone sax, Frank Signorelli on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, and George Tardo on string bass. And we'll follow that with the Paul Whiteman version, recorded on September 18, 1928. There is a vocal by Jack Fulton. This is an arrangement by Bill Challis, and Bix's solo here is viewed by many as one of his best. So here are two versions of the Sweet Sue, 1930, Giovenuti, 1928, Paul Whiteman, with Bix's solo. Thank you.
do. In this heart of mine, you live all the time, sweet Sue, just you.
That is pure Whiteman, isn't it? Somewhat semi-classical arrangement, and then in the middle there an unexpected interlude, very jazzy, with Bix coming out and doing this fantastic solo. All right, to complete the juxtapositions, I would like to use Waiting at the End of the Road. This is another controversial record. First, I will play the Nat Shilkret and the Victor Orchestra version. This was recorded on July 30, 1929. There is Mike Mosiello and another trumpet. There is a trombone, Andy Sanella, and another clarinet. A couple of violins, piano, guitar, brass, bass. Joe Green on drums. And the vocal is by a trio labeled the Melody 3. And the Melody 3 are Phil Dewey, Frank Luther, and Jack Parker. I will follow that with the Paul Whiteman version of Waiting at the End of the Road. Now, here opinions are divided. Some people think that the solo is Andy Sechrest. Others, including myself, think that it is, without any question, Bix Beiderbecke. This is from the last recording session of Bix with Paul Whiteman. That was September 13, 1929, and this was take 8 of Waiting at the End of the Road. There is the arrangement is by Ferdy Groffé, and there is a great vocal by Bing Crosby, and a poignant solo by Bix following the vocal. So here is then a juxtaposition of Waiting at the End of the Road. First, Nat Shilkret with the Victor Orchestra, and then Paul Whiteman with Bing and Bix.
Happy lark will be singing. papally rolls.
The rain may fall from up above, but I won't stop, cause the ones I love will be waiting at the end of the road.
Happy lark will be singing at the end of the road. I can't go wrong, I must go right. I'll find my way, cause a guiding light will be shining at the end of the road. There may be thorns in my path, oh, but I'll wear a smile, cause in a little while my path will be roses. Rain may fall from up above, but I won't stop, cause the ones I love will be waiting at the end of the road.
Get an idea of my taste when I tell you that my favorite composition by Irving Berlin is indeed Waiting at the End of the Road. Okay, now I'll turn to the modern musician. This is not in the same way that I usually do that. I take a band and play some of the songs from the 1920s. What I'm going to do is play one cut from this very nice CD. It's Polecat CD 101, recorded in 1994. The title is Piano d'Echo, Volume 1. Mike Pollard plays American music of the 1920s, and the American music is Eastwood Lane, Bix Beiderbecke, and Rube Bloom. Of course, we know that Bix was a great admirer of Sidney Eastwood Lane, born in 1879, died in 1951, who wrote a bunch of piano suites and miniatures, which were some sort of American Impressionism. I'm reading this basically from the liners in a CD written by William Schaefer. Apparently, Bix was first exposed to Lane in 1923. He took piano lessons from Priscilla Holbrook in Hamilton, Ohio. Eventually, Paul Wildman recorded one composition by Lane that was Sea Burial. One of the group of compositions by Eastwood Lane is entitled Adirondack Sketches, and I would like to play The Legend of Lonesome Lake. So here is Mike Pollard in 1994. Thank you. I decided to throw in another one of the Adirondack sketches that was downstream. Rather pleasant stuff, but I agree with Jean-Paul, who said that he was surprised that Bix, with his very advanced sense of composition and harmony, would enjoy so much these relatively simple compositions. Well, let's get back to Bix now. End of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 2 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station of the Bixography website, for another edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.